I'm Gary Kalib.
What must I do to be saved is an important question for all men, and certainly that which we ought to consider with the closest consideration. It was asked, of course, in Acts 16 by the jailer. It was also asked on the day that the church was born, in Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost. Those people there were cut to the heart by the preaching which Peter did, and they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter answered them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Here, then, salvation is offered, and, of course, the blessings can come when men accept the terms of the gospel in order that they may be saved. Jesus said in Mark 16, 15, and 16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." In this language, of course, the loving Lord himself spoke to the supreme moment of our life when he answered the question of what men must do in order to be saved. Here's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as he gives answer to that question. What must I do to be saved? Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Then, "he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved" means that he'll be pardoned, doesn't it? As certainly as the Savior told the truth just before his ascension when he said so. Now, just for the present time, let us pass from heaven's statute books, the gospel records, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the 89 chapters of which constitute the statute books of heaven, in force now, of course, in the Christian dispensation. Then we come to this book of Acts, the book of conversion, and this book shows clearly and plainly exactly how the Great Commission that was given in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was understood by those to whom it was addressed, and clearly reveals, of course, heaven's application of it. Here in the second chapter of the book of Acts, we find a clear account, and the part, of course, that the first sermon preached, brought to the people under that Great Commission, was that they must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ or by his authority, and that would answer that question, what must I do to be saved? In the 22nd chapter and also the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, we find the divine record, a report of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Subsequently, of course, he was called the Apostle Paul. And he was on his way, you know, to Damascus with letters from the high priest authorizing him to arrest and bring bound unto Jerusalem all Christians that he might find there. Suddenly about noon, the Bible says that a bright light shone around about him, and he asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord answered, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." Now, believing this, he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" As if he had said, "Lord, what must I do to be saved from my sins? I persecuted thee in persecuting thy church. I have dragged many of thy disciples to prisons dreary and dungeons dark, and I've driven some to blasphemy and to death. I shall be recognized through time and through eternity as the chief of sinners because these pitiless persecutions which I have invoked upon these people shall be remembered. What shall I do? What must I do? What wilt thou have me to do?" You know what Jesus said to him? He didn't tell him what to do in order to be saved, but he said, rather, "Go into the city, and there it shall be told thee what thou must do." As I stated before in our study, because of the Great Commission now being given, the Lord does not speak directly from heaven, neither does God or the Holy Spirit or angels, in order to tell a man what to do to be saved. It's now in the hands of men. You know what he did? He arose and went into Damascus, and he remained there, you know. He was blind at first. He was believing. He was a penitent. He was fasting and praying 3 days and three nights. And then God sent Ananias, an inspired preacher, to him. And Ananias, finding him in proper condition and in every respect to complete his obedience, said to him, "God having restored his sight, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord," Acts 22 and verse 16. Now Saul asked Jesus personally, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord told him plainly and positively to go into the city, and there it shall be told thee what thou must do. God sent one of his own inspired servants to Saul then, didn't he, to tell him what to do. Here, God is not working on the sinner. He's working on the preacher. And in this day of miracles even, God did not tell men what to do, even though they may ask outright, by the authority of the divine Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in order for them to be saved. Now, the Philippian jailer, whom we read about in Acts 16, he certainly wanted to know what to do to be saved, and Paul and Silas taught him the will of the Lord and baptized him into Christ. So when we carefully consider these things, my friends, in the light of divine truth, we find the answer to the question, don't we? What must I do to be saved? How important it is, and how wonderfully heaven teaches us through hearing the gospel and believing the gospel, repenting of our sins, and being baptized, just how to be saved. And having honestly and earnestly and sincerely done all of these things, all of these that are mentioned in the Scriptures as asking those questions were saved from their past and present sins, but not their future sins. No, not that, my friends. They were delivered from the power of darkness that they'd been in the past, and they were translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love, Colossians 1 and verse 13. Now, by referring to another case of conversion, where the question now under consideration is not plainly propounded, but where we desire to know the way of salvation was evidently present, we find the scriptural form of phraseology by which penitent believers may make application for admittance into the ordinance of baptism and into the Lord's church. This is clearly revealed and plainly recorded for us in Acts the 8th chapter, verse 26 through 39. It says, "An angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert, that is, the old, uninhabited, desolate Gaza, not the new inhabited Gaza by the seaside now. But he rose and went, and behold, it says, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace the queen, that is, of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning, sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. And you know, then the Spirit said unto Philip," not unto the man who was the sinner, but unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Philip ran thither to him, and the record says that he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and he said to him, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture, it says, which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet, of himself or some other man?" And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "Behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He commanded the chariot to stand still, the Bible tells us, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, my friends, when we carefully, combined, and correctly see these, we see the Great Commission once again as it's carried out in this, without any doubt whatsoever. What must I do to be saved? The answer authorizes and requires every gospel preacher, doesn't it, to tell poor lost souls, ruined sinners, that they must hear the gospel, that they have to believe it with all of their heart, that they have to honestly repent of their sins and confess the faith in Christ and confess with their mouth before men that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, be buried with Him in baptism into death in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ. So when they arise from this watery grave, the Bible says they arise to walk in newness of life. It doesn't matter then where we find these conversions in the New Testament. You know, it's always the same plan of salvation, the same one that all men receive, because the Great Commission has given us one plan, and that one plan is for every religious person in the world who wants to go to heaven. Not everyone, Jesus said, that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So here we find it, my friends. The answer to the question is quite clear, isn't it? Will you obey the gospel today so that you may answer that question in your life in the correct manner?